Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And hi there, welcome to hour number two of this Monday broadcast, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher, in for Cy Kellett. Always a great pleasure to be back with you on this program. My thanks again to Father Hugh Barber. The chaplain was in last hour. And again, if any of you are still tuned in and you called in and were left on the line there, it happens. We run up against the clock every hour of every broadcast, but we invite you to call tomorrow during the two-hour Q&A general open forum. Anything you would like to ask tomorrow is wide open. So we're going to move on, and like I said, at the end of the hour, we're going to shift gears a little bit for hour number two. We're going to talk about imagination, especially as it is, exhibited and developed and grown within our children. And of course, that really kind of never leaves us. But imagination is such a part of being a child. I mean, I'd love to see a show of hands. How many people did not grow up with, say, dolls or toy soldiers or fire trucks or Legos or what have you? And so much of that is imagination. It's a beautiful thing to see a child playing with toys like that and kind of having a conversation around all of that, and they're mouthing words and saying things, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think a lot of that has been lost, partly perhaps because technology, we're putting gadgets in our kids' faces and they're being bombarded by stimuli from without. And I'm wondering if that has maybe stunted or stifled some of the growth of imagination. But anyway, I'm not the one to talk about that. Holly Ordway is here. She's going to be sharing with us on this topic today. She is professor of English and a faculty member in the Apologetics Master's Program at Houston Baptist University. And she's the author of Apologetics and the Christian Imagination, an Integrated Approach to Defending the Faith, published by Emmaus Road, and also the author of Not God's Type, An Atheist Academic Lays Down Her Arms. Holly, thank you for joining us on Catholic Answers Live.
My pleasure. It's always just great fun to be in the show.
Well, I tried my best to set up the topic there, and I could have been sort of on the mark or way off the mark. Was I making any sense there to you who know this topic very well?
Very, very much on the mark. In fact, we have enough material for about three or four shows just with these things, because we have the question of how do we shape children's imaginations and what are the influences on them. And I think you've hit on something very important, which is the fact that children naturally have an imagination that's more responsive and more overt. Now, one of the things I talk about in my own work, for instance, my apologetics book, is the way that the imagination is a fundamental human faculty. Everyone has it. It's necessary for all of our meaning making. Even for our listeners who are listening to the show, your imagination is at work because those sound waves are getting transformed into words that then you have to parse as having meaning. So you've actually used your imagination to construct meaning out of these little noises that are coming to you over the internet. So we're always using the imagination. But with children, we see it particularly vividly because they have not yet been taught to suppress it. They've not yet been overwhelmed by other things to squelch the use
jaded
of their imagination. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we see that more naturally in children. And the question is, how do we cultivate it? And how can we prevent it from being squelched? And how specifically, since we're on Catholic Answers, how do we help our children to have their imagination help them grow in their Catholic faith? And this is also particularly interesting to me because, as you read out in my bio, I actually teach at an institution with the word Baptist in the name. It's actually it's a Protestant institution. It's ecumenical. So I have Catholic students and Catholic faculty as well as loads of Protestant students. But one of the things I'm able to see is the way that different Christian traditions put more or less emphasis on the role of the imagination and the arts. And I have to say, a lot of Protestant traditions really don't do that very well. And then they discover the richness of the Catholic tradition and say, wow, there's like art and things going on. There's all this stuff. And and that's something that as Catholics, we have a lot more resources available to develop our children's faith in and through the imagination if we can figure out how to do that.
Well, phone lines are open, as always, when we are live on Catholic Answers Live. Here's the number. It's 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. If you're a parent, you might be wondering, you know, how to shape a healthy development of your child's imagination. Maybe you've got a child with a runaway imagination. Maybe you're curious to know if it's okay to foster that. Perhaps one of your children exhibits little or no imagination at all. Maybe that concerns you, you know, that they don't really muse and dream and use that imagination. We can talk about what role fantasy literature and movies, for example, play in the growth and exercise of a young person's imagination. Whatever you would like to weigh in on with Holly Ordway this hour, she is here for you on this topic at 888-318-7884. That is a toll-free line. Catholic Answers Live will happily pick up the cost of that call. Well, Holly, are you at all concerned with the possibility that children today might not be getting the chance to fully develop rich lives of imagination?
Yes. Very concerned.
Okay, well, I should not have asked a yes or no question. So, Holly, why are you concerned about that?
Yes, I was just allowing you some breathing space before I launched into my little soapbox about this.
Launch away.
Yes. Well, we're currently in a cultural situation in which we can allow kids to be hugely overstimulated. And the fact of the matter is that the imagination works best when it has things to work with, but not too many things. The imagination has to be doing that work. There's a reason why dolls and stuffed toys and like figurines are such fantastic toys for children. It's because they suggest stories, they suggest things by their shape, you know, animals, people, you know, trains, things like that. But then they invite the children to make up their own narratives to go with it. You know, the dolls having interactions, the trains going places, you know, the farm animals. You know, I used to have little paper caribou that I would make, and I would send them on a little migration across the dining room when I was about 6 years old. I watched a nature show, and I was inspired to make my own herd of caribou. So they migrated across the kitchen floor. So we have that opportunity to use the imagination and have it develop stories and imagine, you know, unfold the possibilities of the toy. The problem is that when you give a child a toy that does too many things already, electronic gadgets, things, toys that are too complicated, then you take away the child's ability to do that. Everything the toy does, the child isn't doing. So if you have a doll that talks when you press a button, all of a sudden the child is now limited. The doll can say those things and that's cool, but it can't say other things. And then the child's going to probably assume, well, it can say those things and that's it.
Right.
And so the more that the toy does for the child, the more the child is reduced to a passive consumer of entertainment as opposed to an active constructor of creative scenarios. And that's frankly why you should just never give an iPad or an iPhone to a small child. You just shouldn't. I mean, I know that there are instances like emergency situations where it's a necessary distraction, like keep the child calm and quiet, sitting still for 5 minutes while I attend to this emergency situation. There are times when that's useful. But what I'm talking about is allowing them to have a kid's one and to play with it all the time and have it a regular thing. For something like an iPad or any sort of electronic toy to be a regular toy as opposed to an emergency kind of fill in so I don't melt down kind of thing, that's a problem because that takes away the child's creativity while also being so stimulating visually and auditorially that it hooks them. It's like the worst possible situation for encouraging the development of the imagination.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. It's been my observation anyway with kids, and I'd love your thoughts on this, how closely the things that they imagine and those sort of conversations that they have out loud that a parent or somebody sitting in their presence can listen to so closely reflects, you know, truth and reality. It's kind of like what they're learning in life at a young age. They sort of incorporate that into all of this, and it seems like it's sort of this organic learning process. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Play is how children learn how to be humans. It's really, really vitally important. And this is a bit of a tangent, but this is why, and I'm speaking as an educator, this is why it is so terrible that kids are having their recess constricted and that they're having art and music classes taken out and that they're having less time for free play in schools, because that is actually the worst possible thing that you can do to develop a child's intellect and emotional well-being and general formation as a human, because children learn through play. And to force them to learn in a way that isn't appropriate to their age, and by that I mean sitting in a seat for hours and hours, that's not actually how kids learn. They can learn that way, and they do learn that way as one part of their overall learning. But fundamentally, the task of a child is to learn through play. And if you deny that, you're really going to get what, frankly, I see in my older students and when I taught undergrads in freshmen and sophomores, kids who just don't know how to think, don't know how to solve a problem because they've been taught math problems, they've been taught critical thinking strategies in school, but they've never been dynamically playing and figuring out how to create narratives, how to imagine scenarios. All of these things that happen through imaginative play are actually fundamental real world cognitive strategies, to give it a fancy name, that you can't learn by sitting at a desk with a worksheet.
Catholic Answers Live, Holly Ordway is our guest this hour, talking about developing imagination within children. Holly is professor of English and a faculty member in the Apologetics Master's Program at Houston Baptist University. And one of her books is Apologetics and the Christian Imagination, an Integrated Approach to Defending the Faith. And it's interesting, in the title and subtitle of your book, Holly, you have Imagination and Defending the Faith. I'm wondering, is there a danger if you kind of let a child just, you know, develop that imagination and run wherever they want to go with it, that they're going to stray off the doctrinal reservation at some point? I mean, we want to make sure that they remain, you know, true to the faith, and not their imagination doesn't take them into these wild places where they're not believing the true faith anymore.
Well, I think you have to distinguish between a couple of different things that are happening there. And I think this is a legitimate concern. But when we're concerned in this particular way, it's easy to be concerned about the wrong thing. The imagination is the means by which we make meaning. For instance, when a child's doing imaginative play, they're creating meaningful scenarios out of, you know, what their toys are doing. Here, I have this elephant, I have this frog. What are they, you know, they're having an adventure together. They're creating a meaningful narrative out of the things in front of them. But as we get older, we also have to use our imagination to create meaning out of the things that we learn. So, you know, Sunday school, or you're reading the scriptures, or you're being taught doctrine. What does it mean that God became man and walked among us? How does that make sense? What kind of a narrative is that? That also is where the imagination is coming into play. And the thing that we have to realize is that the imagination always has to work on something. It's a faculty like the reason. Just like the reason has to have things to reason about, the imagination has to have things to work with. So really, when we worry about our kids, you know, maybe not staying, you know, orthodox or something, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, are we giving them nourishing material? Are we giving them material for their imaginations to construct meaning? And I think it's when children have impoverished, shallow knowledge of the faith, that's when the imagination, it's almost like it feeds on itself. If you don't have anything solid to work with, you go inward and you keep working with the same things, and you try to do new things with them because you just you need something to work with. So I think the role here that we have to have is to give our kids fruitful things upon which their imagination can be exercised. And if we do that, and the Catholic faith is great at that, saints and art and liturgy and actions and all these things, then there's going to be so much for them to work with that they're going to be able to use their imagination to construct meaning for the faith as opposed to wandering away out of it.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. And I think we see the fruit of that, unfortunately, in the lives of a lot of adults today who just did not have that faith grounding. And so their imagination, their creativity, their sort of wanting to be untethered to anything. Well, like I said, we can see the direction that takes us many times. So, Holly, hang on. We got to get a short break here. When we come back, we have phone calls to get to. Holly Ordway is our guest here on Catholic Answers Live, talking about developing imagination, especially within children. If you have a question, it's 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Have you identified as a parent ways that you help your child develop his or her imagination in a positive, healthy way? I know a lot of parents have concerns about some of these, you know, fantasy movies, fantasy literature. You know, is it okay to let your kids read and view these kinds of things? If you've got a child who's a little hesitant to be imaginative and you're concerned about that, give us a call right now, 888-318-7884. Coming right back here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett on this Monday broadcast, and my guest is Holly Ordway, talking about developing imagination, especially within children. And Holly made a good point. It's wonderful. Let children's imagination run wherever it's going to go, because if you are raising them, you know, with the knowledge of the faith and the truth, then, you know, there's really little or no chance that they're going to ultimately, you know, that imagination is going to carry them into false beliefs or out of the church or what have you. But here's the thing. you have to be grounded. As a parent, you definitely have to be grounded. Then you have to pass that faith on to your kids. Catholic Answers has been around for decades now and been offering you the finest in faith resources, apologetics, scripture, devotion, sacraments. And the spring sale is well underway. It's not going to last forever, though, and you're going to save at least 15% on your purchase right now when you go to the shop.catholic.com and just browse through there, load up your cart, and then when you get to checkout, just put SPRING18 in the promo code box, and you're going to save, like I said, at least 15%. And that's on all books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, MP3s, you name it. Catholic Answers Live, it needs to clear the shelves for some summer specials and heading to fall and then the rest of the year. So give them a hand. Do yourself a favor right now and be part of the spring sale at Catholic.com. And a very special gift offer for the month of May, which is Mary's month, our Blessed Mother. For the entire month, Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, is discounted to $9.95. That's 45% off the regular price. And so, you know, you can afford a copy for yourself. And because it's so deeply discounted, get another copy. Get a second one, maybe a third one, to give to somebody who's skeptical about Mary, maybe a fallen away Catholic, someone who just doesn't understand what the Church teaches about Mary. Because Tim, I've said this for years, I think he's one of the top three scriptural apologists, maybe certainly in this country, maybe in the world. Tim is just absolutely brilliant when it comes to the scriptures, and he unpacks them in a way that helps you see Mary on virtually every page of the Bible. So Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, deeply discounted as part of the spring sale. Again, go to the shop.catholic.com. Take full advantage of that, and I certainly encourage you to do that today. shop.catholic.com. Okay, we're talking with Holly Ordway about imagination right now. We're going to go to the phones and we're going to go to Anonymous first. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Holly Ordway. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my time. Thank you for this topic. In fact, it stirs my imagination when I was listening. So the thing is, a few years ago I worked at a cell phone company and as a customer service rep while I was going to college. And a lot of times when you hear parents, adults calling with issues, sometimes you ask, do you have a six-year-old? You know, sometimes because a six-year-old can actually solve some of the problems, technological problems, you know, minor issues that they have, and or sometimes you can talk to them briefly and they can fix it versus adults. So earlier, Holly mentioned that it's not good to let kids give cell phones to kids. So I'm just wondering, what's the balance? Or how can you address the issues of the harmfulness versus the benefit of them learning technology, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things I want to point out is that, you know, it's a boundary issue. It's one of those things where it's going to be some different factors coming into play for different parents in different situations. Now, I do think that as a general rule, it's really a bad idea to let kids have use of cell phones and, you know, screens in general. Really, I'm going to say up until around late teenage years. I know that's going to sound really shocking, but I would say that. I do a lot of work with media, in research and media for some of the courses that I teach. Now, here's the thing. Yes, when kids are using technology, they're learning about this new technology. They're learning how to use it. And that can seem like a great advantage. But then stop and think about it. Think about how much has changed over the last, you know, couple of decades. Every single person who invented the technology that we're using now grew up without that technology. And yet they were able to be creative enough to then invent it. You know, when I was in college, we didn't have cell phones. You know, this is like the dark ages. So I think we need to remember that people actually can learn and adapt very, very quickly. So when a kid does finally get to the age where technology is appropriate to use, then they're not going to have a lag. They're going to be able to catch up really quickly and learn it. And I think what we need to be aware of for the restriction is, even we're going to leave aside all of the potential negative things you could come across on the internet. We did a show on Catholic Answers about that. It's probably in the archives somewhere about media use. But in terms of the formation of the imagination, you really have a fairly short window in which the imagination is really developing. And you have an amazing opportunity to form, shape, strengthen, and train up that imagination to be healthy and strong. And that's where the screens and the phones can be really harmful, because they encourage a habit of passiveness, of passivity, of just receiving and not interacting. And once that habit gets ingrained, that habit of I'm bored, I'm going to look at a screen, not I'm bored, I'm going to go do something, it is really hard to break that habit. And the kid has not formed the active, patterns of thought about being creative and using his or her imagination to do things. And that's such a precious short window of time to establish that. I don't think we should waste it.
All right. Thank you, Anonymous, for the call. And Holly, great answer. As always, thank you so much. We're going to go to Mary in Jordan, New York next. Nora, you'll be after that. It's your calls for Holly Ordway today on imagination and allowing our children to develop and foster that in a healthy way on Catholic Answers Live. We're glad you're with us. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In Ireland right now, we are facing a serious crisis. The agents of the culture of death are attempting to have abortion legalized in our country. We cannot allow this to happen. In these moments, we are asking the EWTN family to join with us in prayer.
To join in prayer and to find out how you can help the pro-life movement in Ireland, go to EWTN in Ireland at ewtn.ie.
So good to have you with us on Catholic Answers Live. Again, real quickly before we get back to your calls, the spring sale, all books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, MP3s, whatever you're looking for is on sale during this spring sale at shop.catholic.com. Just use the promo code SPRING18 at checkout to save at least 15% on your purchase. And in fact, you'll save 45% on Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. This is the month of Mary. The church dedicates an entire month to our Blessed Mother. And why not? She's the mother of the Savior. And really, it may be one of the best books on the Virgin Mary that you will ever read. So be sure and get multiple copies price of that, Behold Your Mother by Tim Staples, but everything else is on sale. So use the promo code SPRING18 at checkout and you will save. Holly Ordway is here talking about imagination, in particular as it is fostered and developed and grown within our children. And we're going to go back to your calls to Jordan, New York. Mary, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Mary. Welcome. You are on with Holly Ordway.
Thank you very much. Holly, my question has to do with the guided meditations that are, I've been teaching catechetics for a long time in our churches, in our church program, and some of the books recommend these guided meditations, and I don't usually use them because I know there's Lectio Divina, which is similar, but where is the line crossed with regard to preserving the children in the faith and not moving into the New Age kind of experience?
Okay, this is a great question because the word meditation has different meanings, and depending what you mean by that word, you can have very different things. So I think you're very right to be cautious about anything New Agey, because meditation in the New Age sense is not super healthy. You know, if you think about a lot of what New Age meditation is about emptying the mind. Well, the problem is that if you empty it, what goes in to fill the space? Not necessarily good things. Or New Age meditation can be focused on things that aren't actually healthy things to be meditating on. However, meditation as a fundamental word comes from the Latin meditatio, and it just means to really just think closely about, think carefully about, spend time thinking about. So really, when we're doing Lectio Divina, we actually are meditating on the scriptures. We're thinking deeply on them. So that's the sense of meditation that we're looking at with these guided meditations. And now guided meditations have a long history in the Catholic faith. They're a big part of St. Ignatius of Loyola's spiritual exercises. He's a saint. He developed these. He was onto something. And what these are doing is they're inviting us to enter in imaginatively into a scriptural scene or a scriptural idea, and in that sense to be reflecting deeply on, in that sense of meditating, reflecting deeply on the scene or the idea. So, for instance, if you pray the rosary, and I pray the rosary almost every day, you're intended to meditate on each of the mysteries of the rosary as you go through. And in that sense, the rosary itself is a guided meditation, because we have the pattern and sequence of the scenes that we're supposed to think about in each of the mysteries of the rosary. So typically the catechetical guided meditations have someone whose task it is to kind of help people along, invite them to get into the scene. And this is helpful because if you haven't exercised your imagination a whole lot, it could be a bit rusty. You kind of don't know how to relate. You think, okay, well, there's the parable of the prodigal son. Great. Okay. But a guided meditation might invite you to say, okay, can you imagine yourself as the prodigal? How does that feel? Have you ever been that prodigal son? How do you feel about the father's love then? Maybe invite yourself to see yourself as the elder brother. Have you ever been in that state of mind where you're kind of jealous and resentful, and how do you get past that? So that's the sense in which guided meditations in the Catholic sense work, and they're a very good thing. Now, not everybody likes them. They're not helpful for everybody. But they're something that you needn't be afraid of, because when they're done in this way, meditating on something that's true, good, and beautiful, we aren't doing the New Agey kind of emptying the mind and letting who knows what come in. We're filling our mind with an active engagement with something that's actually true.
Does that help, Mary?
What age? Yes, that really is very helpful. What age? What are the ages that you would recommend for this sort of thing then?
I mean, it depends on the material. I would say that you really could start with kids very, very young, and even as young as 4 or 5. I mean, think about, for instance, at the Nativity. You know, it would be very easy to invite kids to imagine themselves to be present at the birth of our Lord. You know, if they were a little shepherd boy, what would they bring our Lord as an offering? You know, things like that. And so if it's age appropriate material, you can actually bring kids into it very, very early. Now, of course, it depends on the material. So if you're going to do, you know, a guided meditation about the woman caught in adultery, you probably want to make sure you're doing this with adults who understand the concepts. You don't have to have any awkward conversations about what it was that this woman was in trouble for. But as long as you're thinking about the content of the material, I think you can start these quite young. And I think it can be helpful to kids, you know, even in a very informal way, to think about, like, well, if you were present, you know, at the resurrection, how would you feel? You know, what would you do? And that can invite them to think, oh, yeah, this really happened. This happened to real people. It's real. And I think that can help them to make it real in their own lives.
All right, Mary?
I have to go through that first part where that some books used to recommend, where you have them relax and take deep breaths and, you know, sit quietly and, you know, you don't have to go through that first part, right?
Well, you don't have to, but that's just a practical tip. That's sort of like when I'm teaching in a classroom and I want my students to write, I might, you know, tell them to just kind of relax for a minute, because everyone, especially in this day and age, people are very busy and distracted. And if you want them to engage imaginatively, you kind of have to give an opportunity for those thoughts to kind of clear out and to be able to focus. And I think that's a helpful prayer practice in general, you know, like before you sit down to pray, just to take a moment to say, okay, Lord, now I'm here. Deep breath. I'm not going to think about the errands I have to run after Mass. I'm not going to think about what I'm going to cook for dinner. I'm just going to be present with you. Okay, now I can start to offer up these things in prayer. So I think that sense of just pausing and recollecting, it's just a practical step to help people be ready to focus and give their full attention to the activity.
All right, Mary, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to the Station of the Cross. 888-318-7884. Holly Ordway here talking about imagination. And before we take our next call, Holly, Mary referenced Lectio Divina, and you talked about that as well. Can you just fill our listeners in real briefly on what that is? It's not a luxury SUV, right?
No, it's just a very ancient process of reading the scriptures, where there's different stages of it, where first you're reading and then you're thinking about what it means, and then you're thinking about its application, and you're kind of imagining yourself in it, and then you're kind of applying it. And I've just butchered those steps because this is not a devotion that I
right.
actually practice myself. I know what it is, but I don't have the steps in order or anything like that. But it's a very ancient practice where you're really allowing yourself to be immersed in the scriptures and trying to get it past just the cognitive, what the words mean on the page, in letting them kind of soak in and have an effect. And again, this is involving the imagination, because the imagination is the cognitive faculty that allows us to make meaning. And I think that's worth bringing up again. What exactly is the imagination? Because I know some of our listeners might be wondering that exact thing. Because in our common usage, imagination often just means like extra stuff, like, you know, oh, you know, unicorns and rainbows and things like that. Well, actually, the imagination is the way in which we create meaning out of the things that we see and we hear. And so one of the examples I like to give is that if I'm going to pick up my friend at the airport, I see a bunch of people milling around, and I might see someone who looks like my friend, maybe built the same way, same height, has the right color suitcase. And there's going to be a moment when I see that person, when I have the sensory data, the height, the movement, the color of the suitcase, and I'm not yet sure if it's the right person or not. And then it resolves, and I can either say, oh, yes, that's my friend, hey, or, oh, nope, just someone who looks similar, I'm glad I didn't embarrass myself. And it's the imagination that's doing that work in that moment of recognition, because my eyes are bringing me the information about, you know, the color of the suitcase, but the reason has to make a judgment. Is that my friend or just someone who looks like my friend? And that's what the imagination is doing in between. It's actually mediating between the senses and the intellect to create something meaningful that the reason can make a judgment about. And that's why it's so important to talk about meaning. We talk about the imagination when we're teaching the faith, because only if something is meaningful do we care if it's true or if it's false. until it's meaningful, it's just this thing people say. And if you're a kid, it might be, okay, it's just a thing that you memorize for your Sunday school teacher, or a thing that you memorize to say in your prayers. Until the imagination makes that concept meaningful, it's just words. And that's one of the reasons why so many of our young people lose their faith when they go off to college, because they haven't developed a robust meaning for the ideas that they think they believe. And they have a good faith belief as far as it goes, but there's no roots there. There's no substance. And that's why getting the imagination engaged so these ideas can really be meaningful, rich with meaning, that they've got some content, then that's going to really matter. And I gave as an example, in answer to one of our other questioners, the parable of the prodigal son, and really getting deeply into that as an imaginative exercise. Well, if you've really spent time with the parable of the prodigal son and really imaginatively grasped its significance, then you know something about what forgiveness really means, what repentance really means. You know it's about being at the bottom and then still having your father run to you with open arms and say, "Welcome home. Let's have a big celebratory meal." And that's a level of meaning to the idea of, say, confession that makes confession and reconciliation desirable, that makes it so that a young person who has done something they shouldn't have, makes them long for reconciliation, as opposed to say, well, no big deal. So that's really why this is so important.
Wow. That's good stuff. I'm hanging on your every word, Holly, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. Nora has possibly a related question to what you were just talking about. So, Nora, hang on. You're going to be next, and we want to get to you in Salem, Oregon, and Duane in Covington, Louisiana. Holly Ordway is our guest on Catholic Answers Live, talking about imagination. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. We will wrap up today's broadcast when we come back.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, back to your calls for Holly Ordway. Again, as promised, Nora is in Thompson, Georgia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Nora. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Can you hear me clearly?
Very well.
Okay. My question was actually if Holly could define give a definition of imagination, but she did a very brilliant job of that already. So I came up with, could you give the difference between imagination and wonder? And then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thanks. Now, it's a good question. And really, you know, we got these different words to talk about the imagination. And I would say that the imagination is sort of the basic faculty that we're using all of the time. And something like wonder is sort of an application of the imagination. And so when we are wondering, that's using the imagination on the future, on hypotheticals. You know, I wonder what would happen if I did this. I wonder, you know, are there aliens? You know, I wonder how we would convert them if there were, you know, so we have the imagination that can be exercising itself on hypotheticals. And that's often, I mean, that's, wonder is a good term for that. And that's something that I think sometimes can kind of freak parents out, because kids are really great at wondering. They're really great at taking their imagination and running with things. And that can be a little bit like, whoa, where are we going? But I think, again, we have to remember it's okay. The Catholic faith is true. And because it's true, we've got nothing to worry about. So, okay, you know, let the kids use their imagination, think of all these crazy scenarios and say, well, maybe this, maybe that, or then those magic words, I don't know. It's great to say, I don't know, and say, well, that's a good question. Maybe let's look this up in the catechism. Maybe let's look and see what our parish library has about this topic. And so if we've got some really imaginative kids going on with all of these seemingly crazy questions, rather than focusing too much on, is my kid having like too much of an imagination, say, great, my kid's really interested in this. Let's, you know, direct it towards learning more things about this topic. And I think that would be where I would distinguish between the imagination and wonder and kind of how they relate to each other.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Nora, for asking that question of Holly Ordway. We're going to go to Salem, Oregon, beautiful Willamette Valley in the state of Oregon, and listening to Catholic Answers Live on Mater Dei Radio. Hi, Anne. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
My question was regarding how to develop the imagination in older children. And those that are adults, I have children ranging in age from 21 to down to 12. So I have three in college, and so they're really in charge of their own education at this point. And I just was wondering if there's something that I could do, because they have grown up with a lot of screen time, and, you know, watching movies and whatnot is sort of their go-to for entertainment. They have cell phones, and they need to have them, and tablets and laptops that are required for their education. So I guess I don't know if there's anything that you could recommend to do for older children.
Well, I'd say, I mean, when you do get to that age, and certainly when you go off to college, then it is appropriate to start having more of these devices and more opportunities. And I think movies and television can actually be a good way to develop the imagination in different ways. So I would say, you know, if your older kids are interested in watching movies, then I would try to find ways, like, are there movies that you can watch together? Can you, even if you're not physically together, can you say, okay, well, this weekend, maybe we'll all watch such and such movie, and then you can have it to talk about, and then you can sort of have that imaginative engagement with that filmic story be something that's part of your shared experience, and use that maybe as a way to encourage mindful viewing. Because I think the big problem with television and film today is that you can just immerse yourself in it, you know, and just be drowned in seas of Netflix binging. But if you are watching things mindfully with good decisions about it, it can actually be a really powerful way to engage the imagination and to enter into situations and stories that can develop empathy and learn more about the world, and have it be a healthy and good thing. So I would say, I would encourage you to kind of try and run with the interest that your older children already have and see if you can encourage maybe a mindfulness within those interests.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
At times I feel like, gosh, I just have no, no control at all over what happens and what they see and all of that. And, you know, a lot of times there's the images are so terrific,
unhealthy,
larger than life, just, you know, a lot of like with the superhero movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the images are so grotesque and graphic. It's really hard to develop any sort of imagination with what they're seeing in video games and movies, you know.
Yeah. I think one of the things you can do is to try in conversation to extend these things. So, for instance, I find superhero movies to be quite interesting because I think they show a hunger for real morality and ethics and how is it – what do you do when you have great powers? How do you use them wisely? Things like that. And so I think those kinds of shows can actually be springboards to having some conversations about, well, you know, if you were Thor, what would you do? Is that the right thing to do? And using it as a way to imaginatively engage with some of the issues that these shows bring up. And that way it's using that as a springboard for the exercise of the imagination from that starting point.
Thank you, Anne, for your call. We'll keep you and your children in our prayers. Catholic Answers Live winding down. Holly, we've got about 90 seconds. And Duane in Covington, Louisiana, I'm told we have a bad phone connection, but I'm going to ask Holly your question so she can respond to it here briefly. Holly, can you give advice for how to help develop the imagination of children with intellectual disabilities?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm really glad that Duane asked that because we don't want to limit ourselves only to what we can cognitively, you know, fully grasp. And that's where the Catholic faith is so great because we have all the senses. We have the sight, touch, taste, smell. All of those things are material for the imagination, and all of them can point toward the truth of our faith. So anything that we're doing as either a family devotion or at Mass, all these tactile things, like lighting a prayer, like lighting a candle, is actually a profound imaginative gesture about, you know, the light of Christ illuminating the world, and you're inviting that light into the darkness of your life or your dilemmas or your problems. You want that light to shine forth for the person you're praying for, you know, that kind of thing. These family devotions can be profoundly meaningful and engage the imagination in a nonverbal way. And that's good for everybody. It's good for but it's a particular way to engage people with intellectual disabilities where they can fully participate in the meaning making offered by the visuals and the sounds and the tactile things. All of that's going to develop the imagination and make meaningful connections. Doesn't need to have as much of an intellectual component. I mean, that's a good component to have, but it's just one component out of many. And so I would really encourage parents to use all sorts of different things in their family devotions to engage all the senses and to have activities and rituals, you know, processions and the lightings of candles and things like that. That's a really great way to encourage the growth of the imagination at all levels and all ages, really.
All right, Duane, thanks for joining us with that question. Okay, here you go, Holly, the ultimate challenge. You got 30 seconds. Somebody wanted to know, can you please repeat the time frame during which a child's imagination is to be developed?
Well, you know, in one sense, there is no limit because our imagination is going to be developed all of our lives. But I think that the time frame between, you know, about 2, when they start taking a deeper interest in the world around them, to teenage years is a really long formative stretch. And I think that age from, you know, about 5 to 12 is in some ways, I think, particularly significant because then you have the greatest sort of enthusiasm for the imagination and you can do a lot of nourishing of it and set some patterns that then will work out in the later teenage years as they're going forward. So I think there's a window in there that's particularly helpful, but I want to say that it starts as early as you can and it goes as late as you can, and there's no time that's too late to start to develop your child's imagination or to grow your own.
Awesome. Thanks, Holly. This has been a fascinating hour for me. I know it's been informative for our listeners. You are on top of your game with this stuff. Thank you so much for being back on Catholic Answers Live.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on.
Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. I'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday. And I want to encourage you right now, now is the perfect time. If you are close to your computer, go to shop.catholic.com. Just browse around. You're going to find some stuff. You're going to go, wow, I need one of those. I need that book. I need that DVD set. I need that audio set, ebooks, tracks, MP3s. Everything is on sale during the spring sale at Catholic Answers, including Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. It is one of the finest published offerings ever on the Blessed Virgin Mary, filled with scriptural support for the Catholic beliefs about Mary. It's 45% off. Just use promo code SPRING18 at checkout to save 15% on your purchase. God bless.